When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome along to the Wise Men Say podcast, where we are here to react to another Sunderland defeat, second consecutive defeat in the league in what was Phil Parkinson's first game in charge, a 1-0 defeat to Wycombe Wanderers. How about that? Right. Joining myself and Gareth, we have Michael Lough, as in most occasions.
Yeah.
On a Monday.
75%, I'd say, maybe.
And we were admiring your tie.
I mean, it's not great for an audio medium, but it's...
Well, we can describe it.
He's got a photo.
Take a photo. We'll tweet it out. A pink tie with flowers on.
Yeah.
It's very good. I'm not even being sarcastic. Shirt. I like it. It's good.
Yeah. What do you think of the tie, Danny?
It's nice for summer. I feel towards the middle of October, but no, he's had a good go, hasn't he?
Mm. I mean, for Sunderland, this is kind of summer weather still.
True. Steady 13 degrees or something.
That's the voice of Danny Collins, former Sunderland defender, of course, probably wondering what the hell he's gotten himself into, because it is his first appearance on our podcast.
It is, yeah.
It is. We've spoken to you in the fan zone before. You've done a bit over the Rock Report lads, haven't you?
Yeah.
They had Lee Howie on the weekend, so we've kind of done a... We've done a switchover, haven't we? We've done a flip. So Danny's here to talk about the defeat as well. Mickey Love's got loads of notes, which I'm really impressed with.
And can't wait for that.
And we'll also look ahead, because of course Sunderland are playing Tranmere tomorrow. So there's only a small window for you to listen to this. Yeah.
Do the notes cover off what you were saying during the game on Saturday, Mickey?
Absolutely not, because I think I'd be incarcerated. Yeah.
given the reaction to the podcast last week, I think things you were saying during the game would not go down well at all.
We're going to be trying to be as positive as we can. What I was saying to Mickey in the car, Rover, actually, it's an interesting show to get Danny on, because he can give us an insight, coming from a professional footballer, as to how long, realistically, a new manager can put his stamp on a side.
We were obviously just having a quick chat about that, really. I think going into Saturday's game, he came in Thursday morning, I think, didn't he? Took training. Well, you know, he was out there for training, I think, and then obviously Friday they've probably travelled and trained on the way down, maybe, or vice versa. But I think it was obviously too early to put his stamp on the side for the weekend, perhaps. But just the disappointing thing, obviously, having watched the game, was you expected perhaps a bit more, not effort as such, but the lads to put in a more of a shift, I think. And you know, new manager comes in, it usually kicks the boys on. You know, another 5-10% to go out there and obviously stake a shirt, really, for regular, you know, outings. And but it was disappointing. But yeah, I think it's going to take him. He'll have in mind, you know, obviously players he'll be looking to bring in maybe in the window in January, and where he needs to strengthen the side. And in the meantime, he's got to try and get the boys going.
Does it worry you then that there's an issue if the players aren't putting the shift in? Because we said after the Lincoln game, you know, that they were terrible and they just weren't. And they weren't, you know, winning the second balls. They weren't putting tackles in.
Yeah.
Like you say, first game under a new manager, and you know, it was the same again.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's say you mentioned the previous game under the previous manager. You know, it was a disappointing performance and results, and you know, it cost Jack his job at the end of the day. So once Jack's gone, I think you're looking perhaps for the new manager to come in earlier. You know, obviously the Fleetwood game was cancelled, and you know, if he does come in earlier, then it gives him that chance, you know, a week to sort of 7-8 days to work with the players a bit longer than what he had. But you know, watching the last two games, just I'd say the work rate, I don't know, it's just dominating games. They're not dominating games as what you'd expect, you know, with the quality of the players, what you know are in there, just perhaps aren't doing it at this time.
So does anyone think it was maybe a mistake for Parkinson to be in the dugout on Saturday, given that you only took over on Thursday? Because it means if he maybe took in the game from the stands, he can maybe disassociate himself from that performance to an extent, and then he has a fresh start on Tuesday against Tranmere in front of a home crowd.
He might have backed himself to win it, though.
I know,
do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you wouldn't. He probably wasn't expecting that performance.
No, I think it's a good, as you say, you're going to a team who was sat second in the table. Obviously, their manager was linked with coming into Sunderland as well. I think usually them type of ones are, if they've been appointed the day before, they might sit in the stand where they get a good view of the squad and they can watch it. They might have had an influence on the team that gets picked, but I think it was right for him to be in the dugout personally. I think, you know, he's had 48 hours in and around the players. He's got to know the boys in that space of time, I think. And, you know, if they come away with a victory, then everyone's singing his praises quite quickly. You know, he's obviously put his stamp on the game. You know, he's got the lads working, blah, 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 and that type of stuff. But, you know, unfortunately, they came away with another defeat.
They certainly did. I mean, before the game, I thought, when I looked at the lineup, and we know Parkinson's reputation, he was speaking before the game, wasn't he, about playing to the strength of the strikers. I wish that he'd name-checked Will Grigg instead of Charlie Wyke personally, but what he said was Charlie Wyke scores his goals by getting crosses into the box. So I looked at the team and I thought, right, Leadbitter's going to be sitting deep, pinging the ball into space in the channels here, and we're going to be putting lots of crosses
in. Anyone was going to be pinging the ball.
Well,
there was a lot of
what I was going to say is I thought it's a very basic tactic, but I actually wish that I did see that on Saturday because it wasn't even that really to look at.
I get the thing about, yeah, he's had 2 days and give him a chance and all that, and he'll get a chance. But I was disappointed massively. Just run around. Why aren't they running around?
So who's that on then?
I was just saying to Danny before, like, it's alarming to me, that is, because you might not be able to influence tactically in 2 days, but at least you can go in and give a decent speech and lift people so they know. You know, we're not going to be able to influence a game tactically on Saturday. But what we can do is work hard and get in people's faces and influence the game that way, and make people make mistakes and make people know that you're in the game. And we just were meek again. We're passive. That's my worry. We're passive again, and we was getting increasingly more passive under Jack Ross, and that was as passive as we've been, as I've seen since we've been in this division. And that is alarming to me. And I'm hoping tomorrow night against Tranmere, you know, there's something else there, because, you know, they probably are going to sit off and they're not going to be as, you know, they're not at home, so, and they're not as good a team as Wigan. But, you know, we shouldn't be worrying about how good other teams are.
Not as good a team as bloody Wigan.
I know if it's pathetic, isn't it? I mean, yeah, people talk about arrogance, you know, but, you know, you've got to have a bit of self-respect. You know, these players... Well, we had 6 internationals on the bench, I think.
Yeah. I mean, me and Stephen were saying in the car on the way over, and I think we said on Saturday watching the game, it reminded me very much of when we used to go to a side in the Premier League who were mid-table, like a Burnley, for example, and we just kind of meekly surrender and lose a game 2-0. And it very much, for the first time, I agree with you, the whole vibe was we are just an ordinary League One club now, and it seems as though that standard's been accepted, which I agree is a big worry.
It's still, I mean, you're saying that, but it's the reaction of the Wigan player who scored the goal after the game. You know, when he did the interview with the club channel. Did you see that?
I haven't listened, I'm not going to give him a click.
So he put it on there saying, you know, the Sunderland came up here in the strutted about with the arrogance and stuff, and we wanted to say to them, not, you know, you play by our rules when you're in our gaff or whatever it was he said. So that suggests other teams are still raising the game to play something.
Yeah, I think obviously looking at the two teams for me in the league, obviously Ipswich are a big side coming into League One, obviously playing it higher over the last few years, and Sunderland themselves, you know, it's not, I'm saying it's an FA Cup for a lot of teams, but they might raise their game, and it's a scalp that teams will want to take, you know what I mean, coming into League One, whether it be at the Stadium of Light, which is obviously a great stadium for some lads to come and play who aren't going to get the chance to perhaps play at stadiums like that in their careers. But I'm not saying Sunderland have to go with an arrogance, but they have to roll their sleeves up, you know, puff the chest out and say, we are Sunderland, we are a big team in this league, and we, you know, our ultimate aim is to get back into the Championship. And, you know, at the minute, they're not quite doing that. The lads aren't going out there and putting in the performances, which are obviously kicking them on.
Would you be hoping somebody in the squad gets a team together, Danny? Kevin Ball speaks about this all the time. I know we're looking at it, you know, it's different in the modern game. And
you mean leaders coming into it and pulling the lads about?
Yeah,
well,
how many dressing rooms have you been in where somebody's called a team meeting or something?
Yeah, you know, football's a game of momentum, and how you're getting on. I mean, I've been in change rooms, but obviously Sunderland, we got relegated with 15 points, and it's tough. You go on runs in games where you're getting beat week in, week out, and you're coming in training Monday morning and the training ground is quite low. It's naturally what happens, you know. on the other hand, you know, if you're playing week in, week out, as we did under Roy, we went on that great run, and you're coming in Monday morning, everyone's buzzing, the place is up, and you know, you think you're going out there on a Saturday and you're coming away with 3 points. That's just how football goes at times. But in terms of the lads in and around the place, I know a few of the boys. I know Grant, obviously I played with Grant at Sunderland and at Ipswich, and although he's an experienced boy, he was quite a quiet lad, but, you know, when I knew him and in the teams with Grant, around the place then, Joel Lynch, I'm guessing he looks like a leader type, whether he's vocal or not, I don't know, and same with Willis alongside him. Your centre-halves usually are your vocal people out on the pitch, you know. So in and around the rest of the squad, I don't know if there's too many leaders in there, you know, when the going gets tough. Hopefully, you know, Phil Parkinson can come in with Steve Parkin and they can ruffle a few feathers, if you like, and get them going.
They'll be happy there's a game now.
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah, you know, especially after a defeat. And, you know, I used to love midweek games anyway. It beats training all week, you know, waiting for the next game to come round on a Saturday afternoon. I think it's the lads will have been in this morning. They might have done a little debrief from the game at the weekend and then straight back out on the training pitch to get ready for tomorrow night against Tranmere.
I mean, we had a chat about this at the weekend, didn't we, Mickey? And I was kind of saying I feel as though we probably could have done without the game from an organisational perspective, you know. Like, I know what you're saying.
To give them a full week training with the boys.
You know, try and imprint some of the ideas. Again, we've got a two-game turnaround. And the thing is, one of the lads brought up in the group chat earlier, I can't remember it. You know, you always say with a new manager, you've got to give him time and all this kind of thing. Ross left when we were, after his last game, we were sixth in the league. Mm-hmm. So how much time do you give somebody to be fifth, fourth, third?
This is a
second
problem.
In the league, and we've got three games. We've got to play Tranmere, Shrewsbury, and
Southend.
9 points. You have to get 9 points because we need to win 27 games to get promoted. Mm-hmm. And we've got 33 left, and we've won five. So we need to win 22 of 33 games to go up.
Yeah.
And you can't be dropping points against Tranmere and Southend. You might go to Shrewsbury, you draw, you'd probably be disappointed, mm-hmm. because you're running out of games. Like, people look at it from a short-term perspective. Yeah, well, it takes time. You don't want to leave yourself in a situation where you need to win 10 games on the bounce. Yeah. You've got to start winning now, because if they have to go up this season. When the sack chat roster said, Stuart Donald went on the radio and he made a comment. He said, what are you looking for in a new manager? And he said, one that's going to get us promoted. Yeah. That's the remit.
I mean, yeah, I'd almost argue that it's a unique position for Phil Parkinson in the history of the club, really, especially even looking from like the 1960s onwards. I actually had a look at managers back to that era, and we've never had a manager who has been appointed when we've been kind of high up in the league. It's always been at the start of the season, going into a new season because they've had a poor season the season before, or they've been sacked halfway through the season. So I was looking back on some managers that we've had, and like Sam Allardyce, for instance, he came in the October of the year that we stayed up, and he only won three out of his first 11 games, and eight of those were defeats. We didn't draw in his first 11 games. But the problem is, Parkinson doesn't have that luxury, because when the likes of Allardyce were coming in, we only had to win a few games really to confirm our Premier League survival. So therefore, you've got time to put your stamp on it, you've got time to bed in, and the supporters will give you that time, because there's an awareness around the club that your ambition is simply to stay in the league, and then you build from there. And Poirier as well, he only won two of his first 10 games in charge. Whereas Parkinson, like you say, if we say we draw tomorrow night already, I'm not saying he's under pressure, but people will start to get worried and people will start to panic. So I feel sorry for him in a way that he's been brought into this situation, because it's not really fair on anyone.
Yeah, absolutely. How long, Danny, does it take for a manager to... It's too broad of a question to say, put his stamp on a team, but what would he try to do to implement things differently? So he has his reputation, doesn't he, I think.
Yeah, obviously he's got a reputation of doing well in this league. You know, a new manager comes in, I can guarantee they'll probably come into the meeting room and they'll say, lads, we need to get back to basics, do the basics right. 9 times out of 10, they'll probably say the running stats aren't what they should be. Do you know what I mean? They'll do all the sort of cliche type of stuff. And they always do that, don't they?
Yeah, so you're not working as hard as you should be.
Not working as hard as you should be. We need to put more miles in on the pitch, dominate possession more, this sort of stuff, really. And they'll go out and they'll do some shape play. From a player's point of view, it can be quite boring, but it gets you organised and stuff, and you know, they need to do it. And I think, you know, looking at Sunderland, are they creating enough chances? Are they scoring enough goals at the minute? The answer is obviously no. I don't think, you know, strikers wise, I think McNulty's got two in the league, hasn't he? He's top scorer in terms of the strikers. So, you know, 12 games in, that's not where they'd be aiming to be. So he'll know the issues they've got, and he'll, you know, the next couple of weeks he'll try and work on it. And I know you're saying there that perhaps you wouldn't want a game tomorrow night from the players' point of view. I'm sure they'll want to get back out there and you know, and try and put things right as soon as they can.
And they shouldn't need, I know what you're saying, Gareth, like it gives them all a week to work on stuff. They shouldn't, that group of players shouldn't need that really. A home game against Tranmere, with trying to say with respect, but we'll keep getting beat off these teams.
No, well, we've lost five of our last 14 games in the league. So, you know, that isn't great, is it? And we've obviously won five. So, I just think that you're right. But I'm just worried about, we probably have to be more aggressive and get on the front foot tomorrow, because, you know, I think the nature of the game will allow us to do it, because they'll probably sit in and try and play on the break. So it'll be like just by default that'll happen. And then it'll be interesting to see what our players like in the final third. Obviously, we're trying to get the ball forward quickly at the weekend and then pick up the bits in the final third. And then it's going to be, right, how many players are you going to, you know, what's the shape like once you get in those areas? How many players you get in the box? You know, how many runners have we got involved in the game at that stage? So we haven't really seen that, because we didn't have any passage of play, really.
No.
Like a spell. We, you know, we need
to get spell in their final third, yeah, dominating the ball.
Even like we, you know, we've discussed before, the teams, even the games where we played quite well in,
yeah,
the other team will have
good
10 minutes
in the game, yeah.
You know, we didn't have 10 minutes at the weekend, we didn't have 5 minutes, so we haven't really seen that. So it'll be interesting to see what the attacking patterns are like, you know, in that environment, in that situation. So that'll be interesting to see. And but I'm just, you know, I am concerned, just because, you know, we do need, you know, to hit that two points a game for the rest of the season to give ourselves a chance of getting promoted. You know, Phil Parkinson got 86 points with Bolton when they got promoted in second place, I think it was. So, you know, that's all we got last season. It might be enough this year. I mean, you probably should be aiming for 90 to be sure, to finish.
Chairman wants 100, doesn't he?
Well, that's not happening, is it?
Well, this is it. You know, you look back at some of the stuff that goes on and things that are said, you know, and you look at it and look at us now, what we've played, 12 games, you know, we've got 19 points, we're in 10th place, you know, we've had to change our manager. The squad's not as good as it was last season, no matter what people say, but the squad's good enough. The league's not as good this season, in my opinion, from what I've seen.
No.
Nobody's really, like, apart from Ipswich, nobody's really grabbing it by the scruff of the neck and going, right, we're going to pull away like Portsmouth and Barnsley and Luton last season. And, you know, we did the same as well, and it was, you know, really high standard last year at the top. But this time it's like a couple of, you know, you get a team wins a couple and then they'll draw and lose one and slip down, another one will do the same and get above. You know, we just need to get if we win the next three games, which we need to, we'll probably find ourselves third or fourth, I would have thought. So that's what we've got to be doing, and then that'll get people back on side. But the pressure comes, you know, you've got to do that consistently. You know, you've got to be winning games. If you want to get promoted, you've got to win, as I say, about 27 games.
I mean, I don't just want to talk about, like, Phil Parkinson and the pros and cons of him all night, but I think my biggest concern
is... mate.
But my concern is that what the owners are saying publicly isn't matching what's actually happening in the decision-making. So he goes on TalkSport on the night that... Jack Ross gets sacked, and he states that we need a manager who will get us promoted, because that was a reason for sacking Ross, because he didn't feel that promotion was guaranteed this season. Now, I'm not against Phil Parkinson, because he's got a good track record in the league, but he seems to be a bit of a slow builder. He's at clubs for 2 or 3 years, which is a good thing, but that suggests that he gets into a club, he has a while to look at it and analyse things and then puts his stamp on, and then you see gradual progression. And when you look at Bolton, he was very much a firefighter. Whereas, like we were saying, that is not really what we need right now. We need someone to come in and hit the ground running. And maybe it's a bit of a flash in the pan and it's short-termism, but we need to get out of this league this season. And I think Phil Parkinson, given his track record, does smack a little bit of kind of more longer term, which is not what we need at the minute.
And
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Again, you know...
I didn't think it was a long term. He's never done anything in the championship of Norway.
Well... 2.5 year contract.
The what I mean is, all like long term to get out of this league.
Okay. Oh, God.
No, but that's what I'm saying. But that's what that's what that appointment to me suggests.
We can't have a third season in this league. We can't. Problems will start because you know the people. Yeah, and this people keep talking about this all the time. It's a point that's being made repeatedly. On the pitch, we're a League One team. The players are League One players. The infrastructure of the club is not sustainable at League One for a long period of time. We've been in this league. This is our. We're not even through our third season in this division in our entire history. Mm-hmm. So the stats suggest we're not a club who can survive at this level.
I completely agree.
And especially with the setup, you know, different at Roker Park. Mm. You know, we've been in the Premier League 2 years ago, and now we're sort of... worried about going and playing Wickham at their place. No, it's pathetic.
I completely agree.
You know, and the need to sort of stop thinking. If you think League One, you are League One. Yep. And you know, if people are going to accuse us of being arrogant when we're not, well, why don't we just be arrogant? And why don't we swagger about?
I wouldn't say a swagger. It's just need to put a fear into teams.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
That's what I mean.
You know,
yeah.
In the Premier League at the minute, it's like a City having a fear. You know, going to place. You know, shit, we've got Man City at the weekend type of thing. You know, it should be along the lines of we're away at Sunderland at the weekend, all the best. You know, we might not have a lot of the ball, but that's not happening, is it? Do you know what I mean? They're not dominating teams enough at the stadium and, you know.
Well, look at Roy Keane, obviously you played under Roy. You know, think about, I remember one, you know, the Northampton Cup game.
In the Cup game, yeah.
We're 2-0 down. Yeah. We're down to 10 men because Nairn pulled his hamstring trying to keep out the second. 10 minutes to go. We end up winning on penalties because Anthony Stowe scored twice, I think, right in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then after the game, he comes out and absolutely obliterated everybody for it.
We got that at half time as well. Don't worry about that. Yeah.
And full time, half time, and extra time.
No, he didn't come in at full time. He didn't come in. No.
Do you know what I mean? That's the mentality you've got to have. Yeah. And it, like he instilled in that club after one of the lowest points now of many in recent history, you know, instilled that pride back into the club that the players played for him. And, you know, that's what we need at the moment. We need somebody who's going to, not swagger's the wrong word, like you say, just like, you know, go like, look, we shouldn't be here, and we need to make sure that people know.
Results
that
help with that as well, though, don't we? And that goes back to one of the complaints we'd always had under Ross, where we could just never quite put a run together. It was a lot of draws, and then we win in the game, and we weren't putting teams to the sword like Portsmouth were, and Luton were, and Barnsley were. Now, I mean, that seems like a nice bloody problem to have at the minute when we were mourning off Dacre and Stanley that we didn't really put our foot in the throat because we can't even win a game at the minute. But it comes down to the players, Danny, as well. Yeah. What point is it the players? Because we've all said this is two games in a row under two different managers.
Yes.
And we've had the same kind of performance.
Yeah, yeah. No, again, before we went on air, we mentioned this before. And, you know, naturally, the flack always goes to the manager. Personally, I think there's only so much that you can blame a manager. And at the end of the day, these players have been bought and brought to Sunderland for the reason that the club think they're good enough to do a job for the club and to get them out of this league. And I think... I'm not sure how many of them can say so far this season how many are given a 7 out of 10 week in, week out, you know. As you say, I think the players have got to turn up more and start doing more because they have to, at some stage, take some of the blame for the performances. It's not all the managers, all the managers' tactics and blah, 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 and that. The players should, you know, at this level, and a lot of them have played at a higher level as well, or some of them have, should be able to go out there, take a game by a scruff of the neck and say, listen, boys, we need to be doing more out here and, you know, having a good go and putting in performances.
Hopefully we get that. What do people think about team selections. Wickham going into this game, who they would like to see play. What surprises we saw from the weekend? The goalkeeper change was one that some people have been asking for, but did seem to come out of the blue a little bit still.
I think he had a good game as well, Burge, on Saturday, to be fair. I think he's one of the few that came out with a bit of credit. I think tomorrow it's a lot more about mentality than team selection. So I think, I know I keep on talking about it quite a lot, but when we played Rotherham in that game, the first half is arguably the best we've played this season. And that was quite direct, and there's nothing wrong with being direct if it's got a purpose behind it. So that night, we're playing balls into the channel over the top for McNulty to get into, and that's the type of ball that Will Grigg thrives on as well. So obviously I'm not pleased that Charlie White's injured, but I'm pleased that Grigg or McNulty is going to get the opportunity to start, because I think if we play like that, it's going to benefit them, because they really enjoy getting that sort of ball over the shoulder to run onto and getting behind the defence.
So I was surprised Gooch didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
Just to throw that in there, stop you in your tracks. Because he talks about how he likes people who work hard off the ball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Lee, how he had a go at you almost got up for saying he's not bothered about his wingers tracking back, which Gooch does do that, though. So for what more, it's clear why he wanted one more in to try and use his pace to get balls over the top and in behind the defenders.
It's only a bit of variety we've got. What more?
Like, yeah.
There's no, everybody else is the same. Like, really? I mean,
I think obviously going back to the forwards there you mentioned, I think looking at Parkinson's teams over the years, he does like a target man, doesn't he? Look at James Hansen at Bradford, big target man to play off. Gary Medin at Bolton, he's done a job for him there. Like, so perhaps that's why he has looked at Charlie White, thinking
Wilbraham.
Yeah, if you know what I mean, these lads and that, so he can try and pin the centre off and put it up there and play off him and that. Like, but
he tried to sign him, didn't he? I think.
Did he?
At Bolton when we got him. And he, I think they got Doyes instead from Forest Green.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So if obviously with Charlie White being out now, then is he going to go with Will Grigg or McNulty up there, or perhaps the pair of them, might change the formation? You go with both, yeah.
Because we didn't use a midfield at the weekend at all, so what's the point in picking an extra, putting three? You might as well just bin one.
Mm.
I mean, we didn't get on the ball in the middle of the park at all. And we weren't looking to. We were completely bypassing midfield.
Yeah.
They were getting bad necks. The three midfielders watching the ball sail over their heads. If that's the way they're going to play, fine. But you might as well just play two up and try and get at least somebody around who's going to pick up bits, on the edge of the
ball. I love what League One's turned Gareth into. Yeah, 4-4, just get the two strikers in, 4-4-2, ball over the top, bypass midfield, everything like we spoke against over the last few years.
I'm not saying we should do that. I'm just saying if this is how he's going to do it, then we might as well, because what's the point in having, we've got identical centre midfielders, they're all the same.
Oh, I agree. From what I've seen in the games this year, the four centre midfielders are all like alike. I think Dobson was meant to be a box-to-boxer, but from the games, I'm not really seeing it, to be honest with you. Grant, obviously, at this stage in his career now, he likes to get on the ball and tick it over in front of the back four. So for me, and then you've got McGeo and Power. Again, is he meant to be more of a box-to-boxer? I've not really seen it too much. So, you want one of them to go and join in and help the target man, because whether it's been Wyke or Grigg and that, they have looked isolated when the ball's gone up, haven't they? And, 30, 40 yards before someone's getting in and around them to pick the ball off him.
But again, do you not think maybe that's on the players a bit more? So if you're one of the midfielders, it might not be a natural game. But certainly if you're a Max Power type of player, say, right, I'm going to get this green by the scruff of the neck, and if nobody else is going to play more dynamic balls forward, I'm going to do that tonight.
Yeah.
I think someone does need to just take control of it.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. I mean, whether, again, only the manager and the boys will know in the changing rooms, whether the manager said, you just sit in there, I want the wingers to get and join forward. If Luke O'Neill's obviously played in the 10, hasn't he, a few times in behind Wyke or whatever's played up there, so he might be a bit cautious and want them to sit. But I think, as you say, at some stage in the game, whether if they're 1-0 behind or whatever and they need to get back into a game, that if it's Grant that's sitting, whoever's alongside him, he's got to kick him on, you go and join in up there, and we need to push on to try and get back into a game.
It'd be Dobson and Power for me tomorrow night. I think the game now, it's sad because obviously Grant came back and you thought, it's nice, and if we go up this season he plays a part in that, it's a good story. But the game just passes by, sadly. You get passed through, you can't recover. When he gets on the ball, he's actually all right and he sort of shields it well, moves away from people. But you need to be... You can't have people run past you all the time. It's a problem. I just don't think you know, like at the moment, I just wouldn't pick him. Like, sadly, I would have Dobson in because at least he gives you a bit of athleticism. You know, like there's something there. He'll run around, and you know, he's got a bit of physicality, a bit of height. You know, and he played quite well against Burnley, I thought, in particular. And I'd have Max Power in because I think probably he's our best one of the four.
Right. It's a bit of a shame because in the latter days of Jack Ross, I think we were seeing the best of Power. He was kind of playing a lot more and like a lot closer to the striker. And I think that's where he thrives. And he scored them like really good goals against Sheffield United and MK Dons.
I mean, McGeady can't play. Suspended, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So
Maguire would come in for him for me.
To play out wide?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'd have Maguire, probably Gooch, because Watmore's probably not going to play twice. And
what are you going here? Are you going 4-2-3-1 or what?
4-4-2.
4-4-2, yeah. Right.
Unfortunately. And I'd have
that's
McNulty
funny. That's
and
just
Greg.
Funny. That's well, funny. This but, is what's been reduced to.
But it's logical.
After
like,
years
me,
of the stance we've taken on
if you're not going to, if you're not going to use your midfield, what's the point in picking three midfielders? Mm.
So do you think what we saw on Saturday, that's kind of in Phil Parkinson's image and that's what we're going to see long term?
That's what we're told we're going to get. Like, I don't understand why people seem to think that, like... So the interesting thing, we can, and I'm sure you've got some of these stats or whatever about... Are you going to do that about managers?
I'm just going to give you a quiz, yeah.
So we've got... So there's been managers who come in, so obviously we've got Poirier first game, we got battered off Swansea 4-0, right? Mm. But the next game, we played Newcastle, mm-hmm. and he played... 4-4-2,
mm-hmm.
Like we're completely
just grafted it.
Nothing like mm-hmm. you'd expect him to play. Nothing like we were told. He just came in, was pragmatic, and then we played Southampton in the cup, and he changed it completely.
Did, yeah.
And then we played Man City on the weekend, and the goal we scored. I think we'd had 30 passes,
nice.
Because that's what he wanted to do. The worry I've got again is that. We were told we were going to get this football,
yeah.
and that's what we saw at the weekend. It wasn't, and I'm worried there's going to be too much of a stark contrast between the way Ross has had them set up. Like, chance creation is a big issue, yeah. Danny, as you said.
Yeah, yeah.
But we might have the same issue in chance creation playing two different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And is this squad capable of playing the way he wants them to do? Are they equipped to play the way they want them to, especially now Charlie Wyke's injured?
Yeah.
I think we saw that with Simon Grayson as well. Simon Grayson came in and he basically said he wanted to play football, which was winning second balls, but we've got too many ball players. I was like, well, play a way that incorporates the squad you've got.
He said he can do that, to be fair. He said it because he keeps getting asked about his style. He says, well, it depends on the squad you've got. So
this is it. I'm hoping that Saturday was kind of the default way he plays.
Right.
And then
he's going to try and impart...
Yeah.
Stuff on. Well, that's a positive way of looking at Mickey. Thank you for I'll be able to sleep tonight.
Yeah, have you ever not slept on a night before a game, Danny? You mentioned there like the fear that Man City will put in, and I know you're a pro. It's
yeah,
a job,
no,
so.
No. I think when you're younger, I still know lads now. I'll speak to lads who struggle. After games is when lads tend to struggle. You know, you go over the game a lot in your head. But you had a good game or you've made a mistake in the game and you're going over that. But the older you get, I think you learn to let it go and you sort of say to yourself, "Oh, it's happened now. It's you know, you're disappointed or you're made up whatever." So Tuesday might come around like for the boys that they're disappointed in that. But some of the older lads, you probably say, "Right, that game's gone now. We can't do nothing about it. We've got to get our heads focused and get ready for the game on Tuesday." So, but I have had games, yeah, where. You probably think till Tuesday, Wednesday, you're still stewing over the previous game. You know, when you're younger, more often than not, I think. But the more games you play, and the more experience you get, you tend to put it to the back of your mind
okay.
quicker.
I'm going to quiz Gareth on this manager thing now.
All right.
You've already done one, so you're off the mark already. But we'll try and just work backwards. So, Jack Ross first league game,
Charlton.
And you give people the score.
Or 2-1 to Sunderland.
Yeah, well, you...
All right, is that the game? Is that where I give
game.
That?
That's
right,
the game.
Okay.
I think me and Mick managed to nail it in the card.
Did.
Didn't we?
All right, okay. Well, you wrote it, so you should know.
I didn't write it.
No prior research, off the cuff?
No, we just did it off the cuff, yeah.
Go on, then.
So, the manager before that was Chris Coleman.
Burton Albion 2-0.
Aston Villa 2, Sunderland 1.
Was that his first game, was it? Oh, yeah, it was. It was a midweek, wasn't it? Yeah, but right back without my memory.
So he lost his first game, Simon Grayson, before that?
It was 1-1 against Derby.
It was indeed. David Moyes. If you can bring yourself to remember anything about his time in charge.
Man City 2-1, we got beat.
We did indeed.
Linda Gooch, surprisingly, playing in that game.
Yeah.
Donald Love's debut as well. What a time to be alive.
Did well to get beat 2-1.
Who was before that? Sam Allardyce.
Newcastle 3-0.
No, it was the second game, because if you remember, there were three managers who all lost.
Yeah, lost first and then won. Lost first game and beat Newcastle.
It was a sexy football derby. Tony Pulis's West Brom 1, Allardyce's Sunderland 0.
Oh, I don't remember that.
It was that one where Pantilimon got fouled for the goal, and there was a load of hell on about it. And, I don't remember that
one. So before Allardyce was who? Poyet, was it?
Avocat.
Avocat, yeah. Ahead of myself here.
West Ham. Lost 1-0.
We did indeed. Help us out here, Mick.
Then poor year before.
You mentioned
4-0 Swansea.
We lost at Swansea, didn't we? And that's really interesting, actually, what you said, because Gareth was right with that. We got totally beat a certain thing, and everyone was saying, you can't go and try and play Swansea at the wrong game, and he did, and we got battered, and then he changed it for the next game. So maybe Parkinson does that.
Steve Bruce, you throwing him in?
Yeah.
What was his first game? We won 1-0 at Bolton. Dan Benn scored.
Yes.
Who we missed out?
Martin O'Neill.
Blackburn 2-1.
Seb Larson free kick.
Yeah. Tell you what, we were awful in that game as well. Really awful. Chelsea, we lost 2-1.
Who did you say before? Who were missing now? We got, it was Bruce before that, actually, before Martin O'Neill, wasn't it? And then before that was, who did we say?
Ricky Spreja.
Ricky Spreja, there's one for you.
Oh, was it 4-1 at Hull? Was that his first game?
Beat West Brom 4-0 the week before.
Was that the week before? I remember.
Steve Malbronk scored a header.
Did he really? I remember winning 4-0 because we won in the week. We scored like 8 goals in the week, didn't we?
Yeah, he looked like the best manager in the world. And Roy Keane before that.
1-1 Leicester, was it?
2-1 against Derby.
We beat. We won, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. That was it, yeah. Chris Brown and
Ross Wallace
scored.
Right. Did you not play in that game, Danny?
I might have done. I was just thinking, what was Roy's first game? And I couldn't think of
the first home game, the Leicester game.
Yes.
Tobias Hussain scored.
And we drew 1-1, yeah. No, we went to Derby and we won.
We won 2-1. We won 2-1 down at half time, weren't we? Yeah. And scored twice quickly after the break.
Yeah. Chris Brown, as you say, Chris Brown, Dean Whitehead, was it? Dean Whitehead?
No, it was Ross Wallace and Ross Chris Wallace. Brown, yeah.
Yeah. So it was the start of him taking his shirt off for every goal he scored and getting booked for it.
So the quiz should have been the first home games, because that seems to be what I remember rather than the away ones.
So who was before that? What about Bawley when he took over from Mick McCarthy?
He took over from Mick McCarthy?
Because I know he was caretaker, but he had a good sort of 12 games in charge, didn't he?
That's a good question. Do you know this?
I didn't, but Mick
Nil-nil Old Trafford, no? When we got relegated.
That was the end.
I thought it was that far in. We still had a load of games.
The last game under McCarthy, we got beat at Man City, didn't we?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm not 100%, but I think I know what.
On the Bali one?
Yeah.
Gone.
When we got beat 1-0 off Wigan at home, then Kamara scored.
Absolute screamer.
Nugsy teed him up perfectly for it, but...
We might have someone check that one out. So Mick McCarthy, I mean, we all know he lost his first 10 games anyway. Can you remember who it was, isn't it? The first game.
Who, Mick McCarthy's first game for Sunderland? Nottingham Forest, I think, and we got beat 2-0.
Forest?
Oh, no. It was took Bolton. We got beat at home off Bolton.
That's what I said in the car, I thought it was.
Didn't know.
It was when...
I was thinking of the first game of the next season.
It's when Akotcha did Mickey Gray with that ridiculous sort of backheel Meg thing that he did.
And Bjorkman went to sleep for the second.
See, we're showing how we age are you now, remembering some of this stuff.
The keep, Sorensen parried it out, and the ball was coming towards him. Bjorklund, and he was just ambling towards a ball, and it was, I think it was Akotcha just ran past him and slammed the ball into the net.
I remember Sergeant Wilco, do you know that one?
Charlton, was it? Could be. Was it? No, it was West Ham at home, wasn't it?
I thought it was when we drew 1-1 at Bolton. Mickey Gray got the
opener. Was that his first game, was it?
I think it was, but
again. The first home game I remember.
We were just saying in the car, Hell Woodland's
got, probably boring he's got for everybody.
He's got to be the worst, hasn't he? Even because Mick said, obviously, a bit before his time, he said, was he worse than David Moyes? But Mick McCarthy, Hal Wilkinson had a better squad than David Moyes had. And he got 19 points, and Peter Reid had got 12 of them or something when he came already.
Do you know what? I was thinking about this today, and obviously, Phil Parkinson got promoted with Bolton in the last few years. But his only other League One promotion before that was Colchester in 2006-2007.
Yep.
And I was thinking about this, and that's what, 12 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When did Wilkinson take over? 2003?
Yeah.
When did he win the Premier League? 1992.
92, yeah.
91-92. 11 years. So he'd won.
How have you managed to? How have you train of thought gone?
He'd won. I'm just saying it. Well, it's just interesting it because somebody says this person's got a proven track record of promotion, and he's had two from this league, and one of them was 13 years ago. We had Howard Wilkinson, and he'd managed England, and he'd won the Football League. I think he's the last English manager to win the Football League before the Premier League. He was the last manager to win the league with Leeds. So it was 11 years he'd won the league, and then he came to Sunderland. It's 13 since Phil Parkinson got promoted with Colchester, and this is a person who's got a proven track record of promotion from League One.
With Bolton as well.
And he got a promotion from League Two with Bradford.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm not like trying to be like overly negative. It's interesting when people have these.
We can say we're not being negative all one, but we've ended the show talking about Howard Wilkinson. So you can't really get worse than that.
Should talk about somebody positive. Well,
Peter Reid's the last one. Then there you go, because he's the first
game in charge.
Yeah. I think I know this.
Swindon Town 1-0.
Was it not Sheffield United 1-0? And Craig Russell scored.
Yes, it was. It was. He scored right at the end.
They were the two big ones. Then
sucked it in because the shot hit the keeper and ballooned up in the air. And the wind, it was a really windy day. I remember like the corner flags like bending over. And like it was like 3-on-goal and the ball hit the keeper and just billowed up in the air. And it looked like it was going over the bar and the wind just like in the forward end sucked it into the net.
Great stuff. That's the last 10 minutes.
I was doing the sign about the ball like that was demonstrating it. So yeah.
Thanks for coming along tonight, Danny. You're probably wondering what was going on the last 10 minutes there anyway. But
you're going too deep on the managers. I was struggling after reading. You've got me. Four or five, I think, yeah.
Saw them off.
And I just need to get out more.
Well, yeah. With that tie on, you do. Because it is.
He's straight out in that tie, isn't he?
Straight out, yeah. He's like a yuppie.
Right, we'll finish then. Who was your favourite, Danny, by the way?
Manager?
Yeah.
Mick, probably in my career, actually.
Right.
I'd say. Probably had 20-plus managers and... Mick, I got asked this the other week actually, and just out of man management, I think is a big key in terms of a manager, really. And Mick had it, you know, in spades. I think he's honest. He'd call lads in if they weren't going to be playing, have a word, tell them why they weren't. He could have a laugh at the same time. He could give you a good bollocking as well if things weren't going right. Do you know what I mean? He ticked a lot of boxes as a manager, I think. And so I put him in at number one.
Sleeves was saying he would have had him back, didn't he?
He says the same. Interesting. So here's to Sunderland smashing Bilbo Hoopley and Tramier. Right. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.